Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here this morning. And amen. No place I'd rather be. It is so good to be here. Good to see each of you. And thankful you're here this morning. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm still praising the Lord from last week. And I best yet to come. I know he's not finished. That's encouraging. And that's a joy to me. That's one of the word that we were studying on in Sunday school this morning is joy. And that's an expectation of something good. And I tell you, I'm expecting more good to come. I just got to be honest with you. I know our Lord is so gracious and so good to us, and it's hard not to be excited during times like this. One of my favorite times of the year is Thanksgiving, and this week, and just the time of being able to be together with family and eat good food. That's always a good thing, isn't it? Amen. Like eating good food. I'll just go ahead and put that plug in there right now. I do have one announcement to give you, church, before we get started with the message this morning, and this is from Antioch Baptist Church. It says, we would like to invite you to join us in a day of remembering Christ in Christmas and celebrating the great miraculous birth of our Savior. Antioch does a one-day Bible school, usually each year, and have for several years, I believe. So Saturday, December 7th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., and lunch is provided. So we'll save this letter here. They mailed it to us, so we'll save this a note here. But again, Saturday, December 7th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., Antioch's one-day Bible school that they have during Christmas. So I just wanted to announce that there. I think the other announcements have been made. But if you will, let's be turning to John chapter number 14. John chapter number 14. Let's do remember our service is on Tuesday night. So Tuesday night at 7, come praying and expecting there. A lot to be thankful for, isn't it? Amen. Amen. I've been thinking a lot about the folks around us that have lost maybe even everything. Talking about homes and what have you, and those that are dealing with being out of their homes this time of year. Maybe some I've heard are still living in tents. It's a lot to try to comprehend as cold as it's already been. And I do want to mention again, we do have several heaters still in the fellowship hall that we need to get out to people. Those propane heaters that were given to us by Samaritan's Purse, and really want us to get those out. If you know somebody, if everybody, I think we have about 30, if everybody took one to somebody, what a testimony that would be. I mean, it'd be just a wonderful thing. But we definitely want to get those out, get those to people who need them. And I just merely made me recount and just think about things this week as we were coming home and coming back into the house, and the house is good and warm. I'm thankful for that. I've got a lot to be thankful for. The Lord has really blessed me, and I know we all face things and different things and facing different things for sure, but it's just amazing when we can take the time just to sit back and just think about what the Lord has done for us. I thought a lot this week again on this sweet sister accepting the Lord. It's just been a joyous week for me. I've just been just thanking Him for His goodness and just thankful to know that He's still in the saving business. You know, it might not be something that happens all the time, but when it does, what a time it is. I tell you, I've relived that several times, and just thinking about what I've been thankful for, and I'm thankful that I know that I'm saved. I can go back to my day of salvation, and I know in whom I believed, and I've put all my faith and confidence in Him, and it's about Him, it's not about me. I can't do anything, I can't offer anything. Thank the Lord that He doesn't require that of me. He just says, just believe in me. Just trust me. I tell you, that's as hard as it can be sometimes, but I'm thankful He doesn't ask for any more than that, just to trust in Him. But you see here, in looking at these verses here, I've really been thinking about this topic, looked at a few different things this week, but this chapter number 14, really came to my mind, and the Lord was getting ready to leave His disciples. Now, you think about how hard that would be for these disciples. You have somebody that you love. You have somebody that has done so many different things. You imagine all the things that they saw Him do. Not everything's recorded in the Bible that they witnessed Him do. And they walked with Him, and they spent this time with Him, and they saw the Lord do these miracles, and healed these people and do all these different things. And now they're in the upper room with the Lord himself. And a very strange thing happens here and what they're doing. If you go back in chapter number 13, just something different. He goes and he starts washing the disciples' feet. You know, and I tell you, I think that was a very humbling thing for them to go through, especially Peter. You know how prideful and mouthy he was. He's like, "Lord, what are you doing? You know, I need to do this for you. You don't do this for me. This is something I need to do for you." And he said, if I don't do this for you, then you have no part of me. And Peter said, "Well, just wash me from head to toe. I want all I can get." Boy, that's a good response, isn't it? Don't you want all the Lord you can get this morning? We couldn't contain it. I'll just go ahead and tell you that. But I tell you, it's exciting to see what he was doing. But you look back and you see, well, what's this about? The Lord was preparing them to start taking the gospel out. To take the gospel out. You see these old dirty, dusty streets in the world. You get dirty walking around the world. And you see what he was doing. What they didn't really understand is that he was preparing them to be the ones to go start taking the gospel out. He's saying, I'm going to leave this with you to start doing now. Are you ready? Are you ready to share the gospel? I'm not going to be here. I'm not going to be here. So I know their minds were running 100 miles an hour. They're trying to figure everything out and trying to understand everything. And the Lord was telling them, I'm leaving. I'm leaving. And what would be your first question? If I stood up here for about 5 or 10 minutes and I'm telling you, I'm leaving, what would you ask? Where are you going? Where are you going? You're telling me you're leaving. You're telling me you're leaving. You're not going to be here. Your question would be, well, where are you going? And that's my question to you this morning. That's my question I want to ask you. You see here at the end of chapter number 13, verse 31, it says, "Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while and I am with you. A little bit longer and I'm going to be with you. Ye shall seek me, as I said unto the Jews, whither I go ye cannot come. So now I say unto you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." That's going to be the deciding factor. You love each other. You take care of each other. He was trying to unite them because he's saying, "I'm no longer going to be here to watch over you, right here with you." Boy, what a guiding hand it was to have Jesus Christ walk right there with them. And they still didn't always get it right, did they? But he was right there with them. And he's trying to explain to them, this is what you need to do. If you want people to believe you, love one another. You want people to take you serious? Love on one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one to another. Simon Peter said unto him, "Lord, whither goest thou?" Jesus answered him, "Whither I go, thou canst follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards." Peter said unto him, "Lord, why can I not follow thee now? And I will lay down my life for thy sake." And Jesus said unto him, answered him, "Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice." And that's an altogether different story. But again, you see how Peter was very excited and always trying to be excited and always be on the front line for the Lord, at least by mouth, if not always by deed. But you're going to see the main question that they were asking is, where are you going? Where are you going? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to be here today. God, just what a privilege. Again, Lord, we use this word. What a joy it is, God, just to be thankful for what you've done for us. And Lord, what you've done for me, the life that you've given, Lord, the church family that you've given, the family, God, that I've heard the gospel. Lord, you've told me the truth. You've shared the truth with me, God, and I just thank you so much for that. It's an amazing thing to think about, Lord, that anybody that wants to know the truth about you, you will make yourself known to them, Lord. You'll make yourself manifest unto them, God. Any one of us that want to know the truth, you'll explain the truth to us. You'll give it to us, God. You won't hide it from us. Lord, you're not here to be evasive or anything like that, Lord. You're just right here open to us, God, that we can see you. that we can understand your word and more understand, God, the way of salvation. Lord, it's so plain. It's so simple, God, and I just thank you so much for that. The question remains this morning, where are you going? The disciples were trying to figure out where you were going, Lord, in this context of Scripture, God. And my question to the people here this morning is, where are they going, Lord? Where have they committed themselves to go? And there's only one way to get to heaven, God. Lord, I pray you touch hearts this morning. God, I pray that you open eyes, Lord, open ears, open hearts, that the gospel could go forth, Lord, the way you would have it to go. God, I pray you get me out of the way. Lord, my stuttering, stammering around, Lord, trying to do, God, I pray you get me out of the way, that the Holy Spirit just have free reign. And Lord, do what you want to do here this morning. God, I pray for those that are lost. God, I know that there are people here this morning that are seeking you. God, I pray that you make yourself known to them this morning. God, I pray it's all for you. It's all for your glory. It's all for your honor, Lord. It's all for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You see this here. It's probably one of the most famous or common scriptures in the Word of God. This John chapter number 14. You can use it in so many different ways or for different things. But you see the context of what is being given here is the Lord has made himself known or making himself known to his disciples. He did something very humbling to them, but it was to prepare them for the way that they were supposed to go. They were supposed to have clean lives as they go out to the streets. The world, again, being a dirty place, what they would have, the custom there, is when you went into a place, a home or what have you, there'd be a basin that you could wash your feet off to get the dust and the dirt off your feet as you come into a house to keep the house clean or keep the place clean, even if it be the tabernacle or what have you, the temple, to be clean. And see, that's what Jesus was saying here to his people, his disciples. He was teaching them, if you want to go out and you want to lead people to me, you're going to have to walk a clean walk, live a clean life. And it's more than just about being humble. You see the symbolism that is being given there. And the question goes out, they wanted to know, well, where are you going? Where are you going and how do we get there? I want to go with you, is what they were saying. Who would not want to stay with Jesus? All the things that he had done and all the protection that they had while they were with him, they wanted to stay with him, but the question remained is, where are you going? And they were troubled. I'd be very troubled if I'd walked with the Lord and been in the ministry with the Lord and he's telling me he's leaving. My heart would be troubled. I'd be concerned. I'd want to stay within his power. I'd wanted to be around his mercy, around his grace, around his teaching. And around his preaching, you imagine having that day after day, and then you're starting to understand it ain't always going to be like that. It ain't always going to just stay like it is. He's leaving, and they did not understand that. So they started asking questions, where are you going? But you see in verse number 1, it says, let not your heart be troubled. He tried to put him at ease. Isn't that amazing? Thought a lot about it this way. I know that the Lord has ascended back into heaven. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. But you know, his second coming is approaching. And I can't tell you this morning that if you're lost, that you should not let your heart be troubled. Your heart should be troubled. Because I can't tell you when he's coming back. I can't tell you to be ready by this date and time and everything will be okay. I can't tell you that. Therefore, it troubles my heart. It burdens my heart for you. It burdens me. But Jesus is trying to put his disciples at ease. He's trying to explain to them what is going on in their life. He's saying, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. See, a lot of people believe in God this morning who haven't believed in Jesus Christ. See, that's a problem. It's okay to believe in God. You should believe in God. See, the Jewish people, the Jewish traditions, religions that they had, they absolutely believed in God and wanted to follow God's law. They had no problem with that, but they did have a problem in believing in Jesus Christ. And you have to know who he is. We'll see that here in just a minute. Man, what I'm thankful that I know Jesus this morning. That changes everything for me. Every equation that I have, that changes just to knowing that one person, Jesus Christ. Just knowing him changes everything for me. And he's saying it's okay that you believe in God, but you believe also in me. He's telling his own disciples, you got to believe that I am the way, that I'm the Messiah, that I am the way into heaven. You've got to believe that. He's saying it's okay again, you know, with the Jewish people, for them to say to believe in God, but to believe in anything else, that would be blasphemy. That's why they sent him to the cross. That was what they found fault with the Lord Jesus. And that's the only thing that they could try to pin on him, even though he absolutely is all God and all man. That's what they tried to pin on him. They tried to say that he was blaspheming himself to be God. But let me tell you, Jesus is God. All God and all man. But he goes on to explain. They ask again, where are you going? And he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Boy, that causes a lot of controversy. I've studied over that. You've probably studied over that. You think of mansions. We think of mansions down here. We think of big houses and all this kind of extra special kind of stuff. But if you look it up, if you look up the definition of what a mansion is, that means a residence above. That's what it means. Look it up. Look it up. That's what it says. It's a residence above. You see, here's the thing about creation. God owns it all. Every bit of it. Everything we see, everything we can't see, it's all God's. It's all His. The things we can't see below, the things we can't see up above, it's all His. All creation is His that He created. And you see, that's what you got to think about here. We have this space and time that we occupy here, but what he's saying is there's another place that he is going to be to prepare a place. There's another residing place for you and I. Aren't you glad? Amen. I get excited about that. If you ever have a home, try to keep it up. All the expense with it and all the stuff that comes along with trying to keep it up, worry about that. Guess what? If you're saved, you got a place up there that you don't have to worry about being taken care of. Amen. And I know the builder. He does all things right. You think creation is amazing? You imagine what Jesus Christ has done over the last 2,000 years. God spoke what you see into existence. You think about that residence above up there, what that's going to be like. I get excited about it. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I'm not going to lie to you. See, these disciples, I could imagine seeing Jesus after he'd just washed their feet. He's spending this time with them there in the upper room, and I bet their eyes were just rolling, their minds were spinning, and he's trying to put them at ease and saying, slow down, just listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm telling to you. Things are getting ready to change. It's going to be a little different than that. The next little bit, he's getting ready to go to the cross to die for our sins, and they couldn't understand all those things that were going on. But he's giving them the end result. He's trying to put them at ease. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And he says, I go to prepare a place. Period, right? Is that where it stops? For you. You think about that. He's telling his disciples, after this moment, in this very moment, he's telling them, I go to prepare a place for you. You know how personal that is? You know how inviting that is? How inclusive that is? He's saying, I'm going to prepare a place for you and I to spend eternity. He didn't say, I'm going, and where I'm going, you can't go. He said, you can't go right now, but you can hereafter. See, we're in the hereafter stage now. You look at the way the account comes down in history, it was at that place and time at that time, but we are where we're at here today. We're in the afterwards. We're in the getting ready to go home stage right now. That's where we're at. That's where the next thing on the timeline that I know of is the rapture of the church. A lot of people don't like that, don't want to hear that, but it's going to happen. And if you're saved by God's grace, it's going to happen so fast, next thing you know, you're going to be up there in glory with Him. Amen. Amen. Some things you don't have to wait for forever. Sometimes it's just in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye is what the Bible says. But he says he goes to prepare a place for you, a place for you and I. He's telling them exactly what he's going to do. He said, this is what I'm going to do. See, the thing about the Lord is there's never a hidden agenda. He will talk openly and plainly to anybody who truly seeks him. You say, what about the Pharisees? What about the Sadducees? What about the scribes? They didn't come openly and honestly. They come trying to stir up a mess. And he would always put it back on them. Anytime that they would try to be a stumbling block to him, he would put it back on them. He would ask them another question. He put it back on them. But I tell you this morning, if you're seeking him, he's got his arms wide open. There's nothing holding you back from the saving grace of Jesus Christ except for your own will. That's it. Not a thing. His arms are wide open and he wants to bring you in. He's ready to bring you in. He come to prepare a place for you is what he's saying. Look at verse number 3 and it says, "And if I go and I prepare a place for you, what would be the next logical step?" If I wanted to give somebody something, or if I knew somebody needed something, or if I went to build a house for somebody, or if I went to purchase something for somebody, what would be the next thing that I would want to do? I want to make sure you get it. I want to make sure you have it. If I build you a place, I want you to live in it. I don't want it to sit vacant. I don't want it to sit empty. So what does he say here? He says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. That's the stage that we're at now, church. This is the come again stage. It's all right to get excited there, I'm telling you. It's all right. If you're saved and you know it, that's the exciting part. Praise the Lord. And if I go again and I prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. I'm going to bring you into myself. You imagine what that's going to be like so quick. I know in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. But the next thing you know, you and I that have accepted Christ will be looking at Jesus. Now you think about that. You know, today we have whatever's going on in our minds. We're preparing for what we're going to do after church. Preparing for Tuesday night service. Preparing for work. Preparing for Thanksgiving. But you imagine what that'd be like in the moment of the twinkling of an eye. You have that in your mind, and the next second you're in the presence of God himself. It's going to happen that fast. You know, the question they asked, where are you going? Jesus told them where he was going. He was going back into heaven. See, my question to you, where are you going? Have you accepted him this morning? Do you know that you're saved? Do you know if you're saved or not? Boy, that's a question you have to answer, and I think today's the day that you need to answer that. It says, and if I go and I prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Where he goes, he's saying at that point in time, you get to go be with him. When he comes back, people say, I don't know about this rapture business. The word rapture is not in the Bible. He just told us he's coming back to get us, the church. And he's not only that, but where I am, there you may be also. So that means once he comes back to get his church, we're never out of his presence after that. Praise the Lord. You see, these disciples, they were in his presence, and then they were out of his presence until the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. You see that on down in the book of Acts. You see when that came there. But you imagine how hard that would have been for them. But you imagine for us, once when we're in his presence, we're never out of his presence. Get to be with him forever. Praise the Lord for that. There's no leaving after that. Once you have that homecoming, you're with him forever is what the Bible says. You see this again. Where I am, there you may be also. You look at Acts 1:11. We actually ascended back up into heaven. And these men of Galilee, they were standing there. They were watching him go up into heaven. You know how hard that was for them? That was a sorrowful time. What they say here, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, the very same one that you see going up, is the same one that's coming back. Isn't that something? The same one that they saw go up into heaven is the same one you and I will get to see for the first time when he comes back to get us. Praise the Lord. That just about preached, wasn't it? Amen. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven. Where'd he go? He went to heaven. So shall come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Not only is he going now, he's coming back. He's coming back to get his bride and to take his bride. Boy, I like that this morning. That gets me excited. But now here's the thing. Where are you going?
How do you get there? That's the next question. Saved person, do you know how to get to heaven? Saved person, do you know how to tell somebody to get to heaven? See, there's something I find very interesting about this here. Something very exciting about this. It says, verse number 4, and whether I go, ye know, and the way you know. You kind of see how it's very, it's already laid out there before him. He's saying, you know the way, and the way you know. How many of you have ever asked anybody for directions? Yeah. I tell you this morning, there's a message in this. Anybody ask somebody for directions? Have you ever had somebody, you go to ask somebody for directions and they stop there for a minute and they start looking around and they say, well, you see, if you'll go here and if you'll kind of go down the road and they're not very confident in where they're telling you to go, right? Well, how confident are you that you're going to get there? You know what? I mean, you think about it. This thing sometimes about getting into heaven has been made a whole lot harder than what it actually is. It's pretty simple. And I tell you, believer, you need to be very confident in how you tell a non-believer and how to get to heaven. It's as straightforward as you can get. It's not a hard thing. It's the easiest thing I've ever tried to do if you'll just slow down and listen to how the Lord tells how to get there. But you see, there's people that have questions, and it's okay to have questions. If you're here this morning, you have questions. I have questions too. The more I study, the more questions I have. It's okay to have questions. My thing is, my concern is when you start questioning God and what He's already said. There's a lot of things we might not understand, but by faith we trust the Lord Jesus Christ and what He says. But I tell you, it's never good that we question Him, but it's okay to have questions. You see, Thomas, I think a lot of times he kind of skirted that a little bit. He's one of the 12. I believe he made it. I believe he made it in. He was in the upper room. I believe he was there for the Passover, what have you, the Lord's Supper. I believe he was there, but here's the question that he had, and I think sometimes this is the question that non-believers have. I don't know how many people I've talked to, maybe from different faiths or what have you, and try to understand, okay, is there this way? Is there this way? What about this? Do I have to say this? Do I have to do that? This scripture makes it very simple on how to get to heaven. It makes it very plain. Answers all the questions if you'll slow down and listen. Now Thomas, you know how he had doubts. There's a lot of people with doubts. I don't think Thomas was questioning God negatively, but he had a lot of doubts. I think he had issues that way. Maybe he had trust issues or what have you. But Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? We don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way to get there? Thomas, I am so thankful that you asked. Thomas asking that question is what put this verse, this next verse, in the Word of God. God doesn't want anybody to have any questions on how to get to heaven. He doesn't want anybody to have any questions about how to be saved. He doesn't want anybody to have any questions about what He did on the cross and why. You see, the reason Jesus went to the cross was to pay a sin debt that you and I couldn't pay. We couldn't pay it. We had it. It was placed upon us. We had sinned. We had fallen short of the glory of God because we're not a perfect people. That happened at the fall with Adam and Eve. And you see, we've all fallen underneath that. So we all need a Savior. You see that clearly in the book of Romans. It's laid out for us to see there. And you see, Jesus wanted Thomas to know and the whole world to know how to get to heaven. Not only where you're going, but how to get there. He doesn't want us to have any questions. I want to confidently tell you this morning how to get to heaven. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's it. Period. You know, I think sometimes what's hard though is people have experienced things in their life. Was I supposed to say this? Was I supposed to do this? I had a friend I worked with several years ago. He asked me a question. I can't remember what faith he was a part of, religion he was a part of. And he said, you know, we believe that salvation is through baptism. And he asked me if I'd baptize him. And I said, no. I said, we got a lot of talking before we get to that point. I said, I'll tell you what, baptism is not what saves you. Show me in the Bible. Show me in the Bible. I'm just being honest with you. Show me in the Bible a verse that will back that up, that you can take a non-unknowing child and take them to a priest or to a preacher somewhere, and you can sprinkle them, or you can put them in a vat of water and them not knowing what they're doing, and they can be saved. Show me a verse to support that. I said, preacher, you're being awful mean. I'm being awful honest. You know how many people have been taught that? They think that. The problem is, the Word of God does not teach that. What does the Word of God say? What does it say? What does it say? Jesus saith unto them, I am the way. Jesus Christ himself. He's the one. He was there at creation. Created this world. Part of creation. He is there from the very beginning. He's going to be there all the way through. He is saying, I am the way. And he said, I'm the truth. Isn't that wonderful? Just like I said before, and he's telling him, he said, I'm not telling you a lie, I'm telling you the truth. I can't lie to you, and I will never lie to you. He said, I'm telling you the truth. I'm the way, I'm the only door into heaven. If you don't come through me, you will not get there, is what he's saying. That's very bold words. No bolder words have ever been spoken by a man that was all God and all man. See, the Jewish people, they had no problem believing that God could say something like that. But now Jesus, this person that I ministered with, was in the ministry with, is now telling me this. He's saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he says right here plainly, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Nobody will ever see God except for they go through Jesus Christ, is what the Bible tells us. Isn't it amazing? You say, what about baptism, preacher? You brought that up. What about that? You look over at Peter. It's an outward showing of what happens on the inside. It's an illustration. Just like the Lord's Supper, we have two ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper. Lord's Supper, what we do, we're supposed to take that in remembrance of him, remembering his blood and his body that was broken and shed for you and I for our sins. We're to do that. And then likewise, baptism, what it is, it's a show of good conference to show the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what it is. Your salvation depends on your acceptance of Jesus Christ. That's the common salvation. Any one of us that make it into heaven is because we believed on the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. It's the only way. Aren't you glad that's the only way? Praise the Lord. I'm glad that there's not 1,000 different ways and all this, that you can't just trip and go one way or trip and go another way. It's very plain. It's very straightforward. There's only one way into heaven. You read that again. Now I want you to really think about that. Thomas had asked this question. He's trying to understand. He said, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, he's talking to Jesus, we know not whither thou goest. We don't know where you're going. And how can we know the way? It's a very straightforward question. And he gets a very straightforward answer. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. At this time, I'm going to ask the ladies if they will to come. I'll ask you to stand with me this morning, every eye bowed, eyes closed, head bowed. I want to ask you something this morning, lost person. Where are you going? Where are you going? If you've not accepted Jesus Christ, then I'm telling you, you're missing out on what salvation really is. Salvation is not something man-made. It's not something that is given by man. It's all by God. Religion is man-made.